This audio interview is a production of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality and is part of its toolkit for the Comprehensive Unit-Based Safety Program, or CUSP, for intensive care units. I'm Kate Schmidgall, and I'm joined by Pat Posa, Registered Nurse Quality Excellence Leader at St. Joseph Mercy Health System. Today, we're discussing how to have difficult conversations with colleagues around infection prevention practices. Pat, welcome.
Thanks, Kate. Glad to be here.
Let's start at the beginning. How do we do this well so that a strong culture of safety is built?
So as you're trying to improve communication and in essence your safety culture and preventing patient errors, the first step is really about setting expectations that communications will happen. You would then need to choose what tools are you going to use to improve communication and then educate people on those tools, allowing, just like you would educate on a new procedure or a new drug that came out or a new way to care for the patient with adult respiratory distress syndrome, this would be, we have a specific way we want people to communicate to make it easy to speak up. We want you to use these tools.
And then practice, right?
And then you need practice. So you would practice in a classroom setting as you're learning the tools, but then you need to be able to practice at any point in time. Just like with anything else, you want champions, you want to have people on your unit that are very comfortable that other people can go to. But in key, your leadership needs to be experts on this because they're the ones that can see where the conversations should have happened and didn't, and help mentor and coach in the moment and then after the moment. The times to practice, you can use structured time that's already set in your typical environment. So structured times, like in the nursing world, it's a nursing practice council where they can role play situations that happen on the unit peer-to-peer, physician to nurse, respiratory therapist to nurse, and use real examples and apply that framework that you've chosen to use and have them practice and role play and give them feedback on how it went.
Which specific prevention practices tend to prompt or require confrontation?
Well, I don't know if I would qualify it as confrontation, but probably more intervention. So frequently, probably one of the more concerning ones where you would want to act right away would be a break in sterile technique during putting in a central line, or not properly adhering to best practices during putting in a central line. Other prevention practices that require a conversation might not be as acute would be compliance with using personal protective equipment, hand washing, items like that.
In the moment, why is it difficult to speak up, do you think, in some of these ICU environments? What might be the factors at play?
Well, there are a number of factors. One is traditionally we have hierarchical cultures, and so it depends on when you're talking about a break in sterile technique in a central line, it's usually a physician that's inserting that central line. It would be a nurse that would be observing that. And that hierarchical culture isn't always open for dialogue and feedback traditionally. But that has changed. But if you're in a unit where there is still that culture that what the doc does or says goes without questioning being allowed, then it would be very difficult for a nurse or others to speak up.
How do we begin to coach nurses through that moment? What are some things that they could keep in mind, or even cultural changes that you have seen?
You really do have to back up and get some cultural changes because the nurse is not going to speak up if they believe or their past experience have shown negative consequences to that. So if I've said something before and then I've been pulled into the office and, or if I heard someone else say something and that was the consequence, then no one's going to speak up.
Right.
So you have to work on a cultural change, because even providing the nurse the tools to be able to speak up in that type of a situation and scripting language, if you don't have an environment, if the physician can come back with a snide comment or say, well, it's okay, I'm just going to continue, and there's no consequences, or the leadership on that unit will not support it, then it doesn't matter if you give the nurse all the tools in the world. In speaking to the physician, in the moment, you would just use very technical, objective language. Dr. So-and-so, the guide wire touched the headboard here. Let me get you another sterile guide wire. So it's really about creating an expectation up front. Prevents having a lot of misunderstandings in the moment. And so whatever you can do to create and standardize that expectation up front will make that communication easier, and that becomes a support then for the nurse.
Exactly. In part, how to have a difficult conversation is to set an expectation for a conversation in the first place.
Correct. By establishing a process that prior to a central line insertion, we do a pre-procedure briefing where that standardized, that pre-procedure briefing reviews what the best practice is, reviews what the nurse's role is during the line insertion, and it calls out if there is a breach. The nurse will then ask, well, how would you like me to let you know if I notice one of these things? So then now you're having a conversation. It's setting expectations, allowing that physician to decide how he or she wants to be told if there's a breach, knowing that, you know, maybe you have an awake patient that might hear the conversation. And so you want to be respectful of that. Very important to set that expectation. One of the things that we have also considered and have added to our pre-procedure briefing is having a conversation of when is the best time to insert this line. Because if it's an emergency, it's an emergency. It's all hands on deck if it needs to go in right away. But oftentimes it can be scheduled for an hour from now, a half hour from now, 2 hours from now. So it's important to agree upon a time, because then that nurse can be fully present to be able to ensure that the line goes in without a hitch, without any breaches, and that the best practices are maintained.
Could be a really good idea if you're in an ICU with a stubborn infection rate to consider those pre-procedure briefings, incorporating the roles and responsibilities so that we set an expectation for a conversation beforehand.
Yeah, I'm going to take out the defensiveness by setting up that expectation that this is going to happen. Then the receiver of the information is less likely to be defensive if we've set up that expectation. Okay, I know that's what you're going to do. I've told you this is how I want you to tell me, and that's how you're telling me. Then I have no reason to become defensive. Some of it can be understanding of when I need to do it. I think people understand why it's important. But the biggest factor, I think, is just forgetting. It hasn't become a habit. And part of the strategies an organization can take to help it become a habit is to make it easy to do the right thing. So if I'm walking into the room and you want me to wash in, wash out, then I have to have the tools to be able to do that. And they have to be convenient. If I'm going to use an alcohol dispenser, then it has to be full. And it has to be located on where I'm going to come in into the room. It can't be every other room, because every other room is not going to help me. It needs to be every room. the sink needs to be at a location that's easy and it needs to be functional and needs not to splash on my paperwork. And so those structural things need to be put in place so that it's easy then for any healthcare provider to perform the task that they need to. And make sure you understand not their side of the story, but it's their side of the story that you listen, that maybe you didn't observe them. So, for example, you didn't notice them use the alcohol, but they went in and they did use the sink and you didn't see that. You just saw them. So when you're providing that feedback, you need to use tools where you're starting off just sharing the fact. Hey, I noticed when you went into room 21, I didn't see you wash your hands. And I know you know that's important and you know it's all about infection prevention and did I miss something? You're making sure that you heard the whole story. And without that listening, if you just say, hey, you didn't wash your hands, then you're not going to hear what might have been their barrier.
Right, building that safe culture.
Yep.
As well.
And respect and preventing defensiveness. But in it, if you truly want people to give feedback on hand washing and everything, you have to set the tone in that unit as part of the culture is that we expect you to hold yourself accountable, but hold each other accountable. And that has to be supported from leadership and peer groups. And then when feedback is given, it should be received with, thanks for sharing that with me. Probably the biggest pitfall is not having the conversation, right? And that's probably what most frequently happens. It's not my job. They're professionals. They should know. So a big part is not taking ownership that it is, because it's about the patient and we're a team and we have to hold each other accountable.
Which requires that change of culture so that everyone is expected to observe and also to speak.
Right.
Frankly, objectively, honestly.
Respectfully. And that's probably the other opportunity or the biggest faux pas is in those conversations, they're not always doing it with respect. And it's because we haven't provided them with the right tools. These are hard. How do you start that conversation? How do you bring it up? What are the rules? And so there are frameworks out there. There are tools out there.
I think that's probably a really important note for many ICUs that might not have a practice rhythm for this particular topic on how to have difficult conversations. So simulations or role playing could be really valuable.
And we don't allow ourselves enough time to practice those skills. As a nurse at the bedside or a physician, you have to go through mandatory training on using these equipments and all these other things, but not to practice how to communicate. And we need to. We need to have that same emphasis on rehearsing and practicing how to communicate. If you're in a high pressure situation, you got to be able to communicate, and it's going to take a lot of practice. And people don't practice. They think, I know how to communicate. It's a lot of role playing, and in a lot of organizations in the nursing realm will have unit-based nursing practice councils. And those are part of a shared governance structure so that the frontline staff play a significant role in defining the practice in that unit. And we've used that forum to practice real-life scenarios that we'll hear feedback of, tensions between the nurses and the residents. And so we'll take that actual scenario and then we'll say, okay, we're going to role play this. We give them a framework to use. So you could, from Team Steps, you could use the desk script framework and had them role play it. They did it with a buddy. They you be the resident, I'll be the nurse, and they went through it, and then they switched roles, and then they debriefed after it. We had someone sitting, observing that conversation, and then they debriefed, and then we debriefed as a group. But it gave them some tools. They were actually afterwards part of the feedback that we got is, you know, you can think you know what to say, but putting the words together is so different. And having practice putting those words together was very valuable.
And taking the high stakes dimension out of it so that you've practiced these conversations before.
Right.
So don't make the first moment that you're having a difficult conversation a difficult moment.
And that's the purpose of simulation. That's the purpose of role playing, right? Is to be able to practice something when you don't have a patient's life at stake. Or here in role playing communication, it's practicing when you don't have a relationship at stake, right? Because that's what you're dealing with if you have poor communication. It impacts the relationship. If the relationship's not good, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to tell you. And that will impact patient care.
Mm-hmm. And then the other major element is setting the expectation for conversations across the board. Talk about the change of culture or environment that needs to happen in order to have difficult conversations be expected.
So the unit has to set the tone, or it has to be an expectation in the unit that conversations will happen. Setting the expectation that prior to a central line, you will do a pre-procedure briefing that sets the expectation on if there's a breach or a deviation from best practice, how that will be handled respectfully between providers, between the nurse provider and the physician provider. So it's really about creating on that unit the expectation that communication will occur if we have a potential error or there's a breach in best practice that's going to lead to a patient safety concern. It's important that the expectations are set, but then you also have to provide the staff with the tools to be able to have those conversations. So you have to create the environment that says, we expect those conversations are good, and then you have to back them up. When those conversations happen and someone comes and complains that the conversation happens, you have to listen and support that this conversation needed to happen. Maybe there's improvement in how it happened, but the essence of the conversation was important.
When people speak up or when peer-to-peer conversations happen, we need to acknowledge that this is a good thing. It's healthy for the unit and it orients us toward our common goal of zero infections.
Absolutely. So when people speak up and it's followed with support, approval, or celebration of that speaking up, that helps ingrain the culture that speaking up is good. You can do that celebration in many ways, just recognition. Recognition in staff meetings, recognition right there when you observe it as a leader on the unit or anyone on the unit. Thanks for sharing that. So whatever framework that you want to use for those conversations. And when a staff person comes to them with a problem or an issue where maybe they didn't speak up or they did and they are sharing how it went, then the leadership team has to use those moments to mentor and role play and seize that opportunity as a teachable moment. So the physicians have to be on board. You have to work through the medical staff to your local medical staff, but the instance of the central line insertion process change. At our organization, we ensured that the chief of medicine and chief of surgery were on board, understood the change in practice, supported the change in practice, and supported that the nurse will speak up if the best practice isn't being followed or if there's a breach in sterile technique. And they endorsed it. They endorsed it to their section heads. And then it trickled down. Sharing that with the nurse, that support had been provided and encouraged, that empowered them to feel comfortable then speaking up. And so that everyone then is on the same page. The nurse knows the doc is on the same page. They're supporting it, or at least the physician leadership is supporting it. It might not have trickled down all the way to this person, so you clarify it at that moment. Then we need to celebrate, right? We need to celebrate when it happens, when it works, and it's that celebration can be just the individual feeling good, which is a great celebration. So one-on-one with myself, yes, I did it, right? And then it's feedback from leadership, recognition on the unit. You have to be sensitive to what you're recognizing about speaking up, right? So to maintain confidentiality and respect of conversations that happened. But there are opportunities where you can respect that, hey, someone brought this to our attention, and as a result of that, them speaking up that this was an issue, these are the things that are going to happen so that that issue doesn't happen again.
Thanks, Pat, for joining me today to talk about how to have difficult conversations. This has been a production of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Special thanks to Pat Posa for joining us today. To learn more about safety issues in ICUs and CUSP in general, visit ahrq.gov/HAI.